So you saw the title in the announcements. And so we have a lot going on in the world. We know that. And there's, you know, we are very blessed in the United States. All these people that complain, if they want to come with me over to Africa and spend 3 weeks, they'll come back with a different attitude. We are not entitled for anything. We need to be thankful and we need to be happy. So the title of the message today, what does it mean to be happy? Let's turn over to Acts chapter 26 as we go through this message. What does it mean to be happy? Does God expect us to be happy? Does everything have to be going right in our lives for us to be happy? Here we see in Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 1, we'll read verses 1 through 3, that Paul is on trial for his life. In verse 1 he says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. So he's, all the people around him, he's before Agrippa, and now he's allowed to speak. People around him are fired up. They want him dead. And he says, so Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy. I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Why? Because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all these things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions which have to do with Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. And he's able to give a background. It actually talks about salvation and who he is. And he considers himself happy to be able to explain this. He doesn't say, I'm happy to be able to explain my innocence. I'm happy to explain. And the situation, he didn't say, I'm fearing for my life, no comments or anything like that. So today, what does it mean to be happy from the Word of God? Why was Paul happy being in that situation? Now, King Agrippa would have pardoned him, but he had already appealed to Caesar, a very cruel Caesar, who would take people for fun in the auditorium, and as they're watching people being killed by whatever instance he desired to do, there was times he'd say, oh, take that section over there, that group there, and let's bring them down and kill them. He would take people and you make them drive stakes through their groin, up through inside of their body, and set them on fire in his garden for torches. Paul appealed to this Caesar. And he knew he was going to go there, but he wanted to extend his life. God was leading him to deliver a message to that Caesar as well. But he considered himself happy. In this situation, he was being charged with a riot, for causing a riot, for bringing someone into the atrium where they were at, and legal charges were there for wanting his death. But he was happy to explain and answer any questions. He was happy. Now, what does the word happy here mean? You can look it up in the Greek. And it means extremely blessed or supremely blessed. I am supremely blessed to come before you and to tell you what happened and to explain the Word of God. So in this situation, he considers himself supremely blessed, well-being and content. I'm here before you, not to rush to anything, to have you try to save my life. I'm going to explain the situation. I am blessed by God. I am content. and I'm in well-being. So a faithful person, if we are faithful, and God wants us to be faithful people, right? Because without faith, we can't please God. But we all have states of grief and sorrow in our life, right? That does not go away. So happiness of being supremely blessed does not involve the absence of grief or sorrow, as we see in the situation here with Paul. Jesus Christ, we read during the Passover time in Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says that he was a man of sorrows and grief. Verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and grief. He was despised, and many turned their backs on him. Let's turn over here to, I have it in my notes, but Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 8, see if I got that right. Yeah, verse 8 says, but to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, talking about Jesus Christ. Therefore, God, your God, the Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. The oil of gladness or joy. And the Greeks talking about being exalted, having extreme joy, having gladness. So in extreme torture, all right, when Jesus Christ was in extreme torture, just as he was getting crucified, he told his disciples, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He did not have this fear that he was going to be killed, that he was going to be tortured before he was killed, because he had a strong relationship with God, and God gave him comfort. He was extremely blessed. And we see that throughout Scripture. And we see in Jude 24, just let me read to you, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Who's able to keep us from stumbling? The one who created us, God the Father and Jesus Christ. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Wow. God says if you are wanting to save your life, you're going to lose it. So he's telling us, be in this state of knowing that you are supremely blessed. Have contentment. Have this joy. So we're going to talk about that today. What does it mean to be happy from the Word of God? You know, this can be hard to achieve, right? What holds us back from achieving this type of understanding, of knowing that we are supremely blessed? We don't have to worry. We don't have to stress. We know that God is there. He's a God of comfort. What holds us back? Well, it would be our carnal human nature. Our human nature that is selfish. That is, Satan is trying to control us, trying to make us not be godly, wants us to be focusing on ourselves, because carnal human nature is selfish. It's selfish. Satan is the god of this world. We battle him all the time. And if we focus on our nature without putting on God's nature, we're selfish. We think of me. It's about me. Paul, going before King Agrippa, well, Paul, you know, I didn't do that. It's about... trying to save his life. Same with Jesus Christ. Saving his life instead of thinking about others. Paul was thinking about others. He was inspired to preach the Word of God then, to continue on for a few years, be in prison. That's where he wrote a number of epistles. and then go before the Caesar in the auditorium and give a message before he was, for we understand, before he was killed. You know, our human nature likes to focus on, we just look at it, right? Because we battle this all the time. You know, why am I not getting enough attention? Why are you not focusing on me? Why are you not listening to me? Why are people not giving me credit? And we have to battle that attitude of entitlement. I am owed something. You need to say you're sorry. That was my idea. We need to overcome that. Instead, we need to be grateful for what God has given us. Thankful. We're not entitled to anything but death, as it tells us. The wages, our wages of sinning deserve death. We've broken God's law. We need to stop concentrating on ourselves. Okay, as we go through the message, I'm going to hit on a number of highlights. And I would say, you know, we have the fruit from God of this world, and we have the fruit of God the Father and Jesus Christ. So what do you think we need to be focusing on? You know, one is like just constantly focusing on the self, which hurts themselves, hurts others, and stop focusing on what we're lacking. Stop focusing on what we're lacking, but focus on what God has given us. And be thankful for our calling. And be grateful for each other, right? So we can focus on the negative, or we can focus on the positive. And you see that in a number of self-help books. Stop thinking about the negative. Focus on the positive. But we want to do it from the Word of God. We want to work on overcoming being stressed, because stress causes worry, and God tells us, do not be stressed, do not be worried. Because carnal human nature, if you look at that, dig deep with it, it does not focus on the good things that we have. You know, when I am focused on my carnal human nature, I'm not focusing on what the good my wife does, and she does so much good. She helps me so much. We all need to be thankful. I am thankful for her, but we get these thoughts sometimes that I'm owed something. We all get that, but we have to fight it. Our carnal human nature focuses on the things that we lack. We're lacking this, we're lacking that. I'm lacking a job. I'm not, my finances aren't there. You know, I'm lacking, you know, the things that are going on in the world. I don't have what other people have. We focus on what we're missing in our lives, and this all creates negativity. We don't see that in Paul. Paul says he was content in all things, whether he was rich, whether he was poor, whatever situation he was in. Paul says over here, he tells us what he focuses on, okay? Over here in Philippians chapter 4. And it should be the same thing, because he's telling us. He says, my brethren, right? My family. Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brethren, and we've read this. I'm speaking to the choir. But let's really look at what he's saying here. He says, whatever things are true, right? God is, his word is truth. Satan is, words are a lie. He says, but whatever things are true, focus on the word of God. All those things that he asks us and shows us what we need to be doing in our lives. He says, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, right? He's telling us to focus on purity. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, and if there is any virtue and is anything praiseworthy. He says, meditate. Meditate on these things. Look at the good. Look what God is offering us. To have a life more abundantly in the eternal life. We see here that when you see that Paul talks, he talks about, yes, he was left for dead. He was beaten. But he's telling the brethren, this is what I'm doing for you. Paul does not focus on his life's distresses. He focuses on the positive. He focuses on God's abundant blessings. And we see there's times he says, I'm willing to die and lose my life for eternity for you, if it were possible. And we can't do that, but that was his attitude, that was his desire. God doesn't want to have us have a mind of scarcity. And we talked about this in the past. Scarcity. What am I lacking in my life of the physical things? You know, he wants us to get that type of mindset out of our minds. He wants us to have an abundance mindset. Remember we talked about that and what he has given us? We never existed until he created us. We never existed until he created dirt. Just think of that. So we're here to Psalm 100. Are we happy? Here we can look at some things that we should be happy about as we read these five verses. Well, let's start in Psalm 100, let's start in verse 3. Know that the Lord, that he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. He made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Are we happy that he's our sustainer, that he's our creator, that he's given us knowledge and understanding, that he's called us to come out of the world and that we are his people, called to be first fruits? Verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Are we thankful for why Jesus Christ suffered and died? It wasn't for the law to be done away with. It was so the eternal death penalty could be put away if we heard the words of our Father and put them into practice. Are we thankful for that? Look at our lives in this congregation. I'm just amazed at how many of you send cards. And how many of you pray for one another. And just today, how many hands went up to serve someone? The world, they can serve and they can give. But you know what? There's more to it than that. They don't understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They don't understand that they need to obey God and to keep his commandments. The two go together. Are we happy? We're sharing in his ways together. Oh, how good it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Do we take it for granted? Are we happy for his mercy that he's extended to us? Are we extending that mercy? If so, we'll extend that mercy to each other. And we'll learn how to apply that mercy. We'll meditate. That is something that is noble. Right? Meditate on the mercy that God has given us and shown us. And he says, you know what? Whatever mercy I've extended to you, And whatever mercy you extend back, that's how much more mercy I'll extend to you. Meditate on that. We're in situations when our carnal human nature pops up and decides to do something. I'm not going to show mercy. I mean, when we're doing this and we're applying God's ways, no matter what difficult situation we're in, we can consider ourselves happy. Happy for the word of God. We are supremely blessed. And he gives us that contentment. And brethren, we're going to need that. We're going to need that. We need it now. And as things get harder, as we see what's going on in Bangladesh, we see those members who are happy. They see that they are supremely blessed. They see that their focus is on the word of God and his blessings, and not what they're losing. They've lost their church. They've lost their well. They've lost their community. Some of them have had to flee, right? And they're thankful. Will we let the Apostle Paul teach us? Will we let the ministry of Jesus Christ teach us? That's a good question we can ask ourselves. Talk more about that in the Bible study. That was one of the themes as I went around East Africa. Will we do that? Many do not. There's a story, and many people have sent money to Africa with good intentions. There is so much deception in this world, especially in Africa, where they see the money coming in from the Mzungus, those who are white, is what we're called. And they'll tell you what you want to hear. They'll tell you what you want to hear. Oh yeah, I believe your doctrines. Oh yeah, I do this. Yeah, I do that. Yeah, we have orphans over here. I'd say for years, money was pouring in my area by a number of churches around the world. And I would not believe those who were appointed by Jesus Christ of what actually was happening. They did not listen to four ministers, two on the ground there. They would not listen to John Elliott. They would not listen to me. For years, they poured money into this orphanage. Even other ministers in the United States sending money behind my back. Because people are con men. They'll tell you what you want to hear. We have a policy now that's been set up by Mr. Shabe in Ministerial Services that everything has to go through the senior pastor in that area, but that still didn't stop people from doing it. Just recently did they all find out that they were being scammed. They didn't want to listen to Jesus Christ's appointed authorities, as it shows us in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 4, different places. Satan is so powerful to twist our minds to, I'm going to do my own thing, which is being self-willed. As a minister of Jesus Christ, we do not lie. Paul says, I do not lie. There's people that would not listen to him either. That's why he said, follow me just as I follow Jesus Christ. So that's where you have to look. Who's following Jesus Christ? And following him exactly the way he says he needs to be followed. But there's just so much. You have to be so careful. And I made so many mistakes over there myself, believing in people. But here, Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 16, and our salvation is at stake. Jesus Christ gave the ministry to feed us. I still learn from the ministry. But you have to know who's the true shepherd. And the only way to know that is if you're hearing the word of God and putting it into practice. And battling our human nature and putting on godly nature. If not, we'll deceive ourselves. But Paul says here in verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, godly wisdom, teaching, he's telling us here, and admonishing one another, correcting one another. Do that even in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your mind to the Lord, thanking him for his message of surrendering to him. And we surrender him and follow him. He leads us and gives us understanding. In verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, giving thanks, the Father, through Jesus Christ. How many people are offered godly wisdom today? You are being offered godly wisdom to understand the deep things of God, things that kings would love to be able to understand. You understand it. One day, their eyes will be opened and they'll go, wow. Those that rejected it, they'll go, why did you reject so great a blessing? Do we see it as a great blessing? Are we thankful for biblical understanding? Or are we just, sweep it underneath the rug and go about our day? If we're doing that, we're not going to be happy. God is offering us happiness of being extremely blessed. We should be thankful that God has given us ministers who sacrifice themselves for the word of God. We're not perfect. Some of you come to me and tell me where I did things wrong. And you know my responses. I don't justify myself. I'd quickly say, I'm sorry. And that my actions see if I am godly or not. But we all make mistakes. We want to justify them. We want to move forward. Are we grateful for the word of God that he can teach us? Are we grateful for repentance? Did you know repentance is a gift? It's a gift from God. Do we want to see our sins? Do we want to change? Do we want to become more like him? Let's turn over here to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. These are the things that we can meditate on, think on, and no matter what distresses we have in our life, we can be happy. The happiness knows that we are supremely blessed by God our Father and Jesus Christ, who want us to be like them, and they want to give us everything. They want us to learn, put that into practice. We'll continue with that in a little while. But here, Matthew chapter 5. My question for myself, my question for you, do you look at being supremely blessed as a negative? I have to obey God. Well, yeah, Satan's pushing on your mind. You got your carnality. It's too hard. I'd rather do this. Or are we looking at it as a positive? It's a question we have to ask ourselves, and I think we need to look deep in that. Let's turn over here to Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at some of these Beatitudes. Here, in Matthew 5, verse 3, it says, blessed or happy are those who understand they are supremely blessed, are the poor in spirit. They understand they need to be poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do we see ourselves as happy, as blessed, supremely blessed, even in our trials, our situations, no matter what we go through? We know that that's temporary. We know that those trials are to strengthen us, help us to grow closer to God. It says, blessed are you if you seek the spiritual. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who seek the spiritual things that they know they're lacking and they know they need in their lives. If we seek the spiritual, it says we'll be complete in our thinking and how we live. It's because it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed. And again, you can say blessed all the way through here, and you can say happy, which means extremely or supremely blessed. Blessed. I'm happy. Those who are happy and understand they're supremely blessed are those who mourn. Because they understand that they need to become more like God and less like themselves. For they will be comforted. Blessed are those who pursue God's spiritual needs that we need, the ones that we lack. It says, you'll be comforted, and he won't worry if you seek these things. Jesus Christ says, I'm the living bread, right? You seek the physical, and you want to fill your bellies. That's the first thing on your mind. But I'm the living bread. Seek me. You know, there was an article. Headline was, I wrote it down here, sick of holding my breath. People are panicking with these school shootings. Sick of holding my breath. Parents sending their kids to school. I'm sick of holding my breath because I don't know what's going to happen. If we're not going to be seeking the spiritual, we're focusing on the physical, those are the same statements that we'll be saying. We'll be afraid, we'll be fearful. But God has called us out of that. He's called us to be happy, to be blessed, to have these understandings and to put them into practice. Jesus Christ says in John 16:24, until now you have asked nothing in my name because you do not have the Holy Spirit. But I've came and I've suffered and I've died for you. And I'm going to the Father. And you haven't been able to pray to the Father. But through me, you can. And you haven't been able to ask. But until now, it says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. You haven't been able to do this. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full, that you can be supremely blessed. Help us, not selfishness, has helped me to be supremely blessed. No, help us. Model prayers, us. It's us. It's family. That our joy together may be full, that when we go through these trials, and we're going to go to Daniel in a little bit. A lot of people say that Daniel got a raw deal, being captured at an early age, being a teenager, and all the suffering that he went through and things that he missed out in life. But that would be looking at it from the wrong view. We don't want to be a part of sick of holding our breath of what's going to happen next in society and in this world. God has called us out of that. He says that your joy may be full. The Greek says having a calm delight. A calm delight. Because you know the plan of salvation and what God is doing in your life. It's a calm delight. Yeah, you sigh and cry. You know, these other people have potential spiritually when their opportunity comes. But for us, we're exceedingly grateful, full of comfort, full of joy. It says fullness. gladness, greatly, to be exceeding. Paul and Jesus Christ were happy. And Jesus Christ wants this joy of understanding that we're supremely blessed by putting his ways into practice and getting to that mindset and that having that comfort. That's the prayer that Jesus Christ has for us. That's what he does. He wants this in us. I know that there's times, I'm not sure if I've given you this example or not, but I know in my life, just sometimes you just get this tension. This tension, this buildup. Maybe you've experienced, I would think, that we probably all have, but there's times I'm just sometimes working in the house, working with my wife, and then what's my mind on? Why am I feeling so tense? And I can't get rid of it. I can't, it's just building and building. It's like, I need to go pray. Satan is attacking. I go in and I start praying and asking God for help. Help me to relieve this attitude. Help me to have your attitude that focuses on me, and I'm thinking badly, and I'm going to say things that aren't going to be right. And when I do this, I just start seeing comfort. And I say, help us as a family of God, and more comfort comes. And I'd say in less than 2 minutes, it's gone. And what scripture comes to mind, and we all probably have gone through this, all right? But I'm just saying my experience is when we go to James, draw close to God. Draw close. Resist Satan. Come to God and Satan will flee. If we desire his mindset and his ways and don't pray to God, and even sometimes it's going to take deeper, a fast, to draw closer to God so Satan will flee, because we see that in Scripture. The disciples could sometimes cast out the demons, and there's times that they couldn't. And Jesus Christ, well, sometimes it takes prayer and fasting. God wants to know, do we really want faith? Do we really want faith? Hearing the word of God and putting it into practice. Are we willing to accept this joy that Jesus Christ gave to Paul, the apostles, to those in the faith chapter? Jesus Christ is preparing a bride for himself. He's preparing a bride for himself. Jesus Christ showed great empathy for others. What about us? When our brothers and sisters are in need, like Dave, we have been 4 to 5 weeks, 6 weeks to live. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What would you want from your brother and sister if that were you? Verse 5, blessed means happy, supremely blessed again, are the meek. Right? This is all, as I say, these are the quality characters that you need to have. Right? For they shall inherit the earth. Those who are not looking for personal gain, something for someone to do for me, but God is looking for us to be doing something for others. Does God's Holy Spirit control our minds? Are we pushing out Satan? Are we wanting to put on godliness? Do we want to be meek and overcome selfishness? We have Moses' example in the Old Testament. God says, oh, I'm going to use your people, your descendants. They will replace these. And what does he say? Oh, yeah, it's about time. No, he still had compassion and empathy. He wasn't being selfish. We know that God will eventually offer rulership to others as well. But being in the first resurrection is a greater reward. We need to learn to be humble now, because we don't have a second chance. We need to bite our tongue, so to speak, turn the other cheek, as Scripture says, as Paul did, as the apostles did, as Jesus Christ did. When you overcome Satan's influence, who's going to say, no, you need to fight back. Those that are happy learn to control their emotions. Those who are extremely, supremely blessed will be able to control that, because they'll be praying to God. And if it's still a battle and still a fight, and Satan is still there and he's not going to let go, then the fasting comes in. For they shall inherit the earth. Right? God has given us the guidance, the direction. Verse 6, blessed or happy, supremely blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. When you go hungry, sometimes you're working outside and you haven't had a drink in a while, and you are thirsty. You're hungry and you're thirsty, physically. You're hungry and you're thirsty. You want food. You want something to drink to be satisfied. What about spiritually? Do we hunger and thirst for the spiritual? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's what God says. We'll be satisfied if we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Verse 7, blessed. And you know what that word means? Are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I sort of touched on that. God chose mercy to us originally. Showed us that you are going down the path of death. I'm here to show you mercy. You don't deserve it, but I'm showing you mercy. Do any of us deserve it? God says, none of us deserve it, but you need to show it. Had an individual baptized in Burundi. As we counseled and things like that. And I had asked him, I said, what do you deserve when you sin? He says, forgiveness. Ah, you do? And I was waiting, we turned to Romans chapter 6, 23. Oh, I deserve death. I said, do you sin? He says, as we work with them and talk with them, he came to realize, I'm a sinner. So I said, what happens when your wife sins? What does she deserve? Death. What are you supposed to do? Show mercy. Show mercy. It's about relationships. It's coming to this understanding and vice versa. Oh, understanding what we deserve, understanding what we need to give. We see in Scripture, it's like the more mercy we show, the more mercy God gives us. Wow, do we understand and see that we need God's mercy for the things that we do? Our model prayer is, forgive us, right? We're not saying, forgive me, forgive us as the body of Christ. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. God says, hey, so help us to show mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I say that we should strive to see the best in others. You can see my flaws. Go over to my house, you'll see my flaws. Spend a little bit more time around me, you'll see my flaws. But God is saying that we need to see the best in others despite their flaws. Don't be picking at them. Sometimes, my life is like, we pick. Look what you're doing wrong here, look what you're doing wrong here. Don't do it. Turn the other cheek, bite our tongue. God sees the best in us. God sees the best in us. The disciples, all the way through the time they walked with Jesus Christ before he died, they're always struggling to, who was going to be the greatest? Did he give up on them? No. Even at the time he went to start to washing their feet, they were arguing who was going to be the greatest. Jesus Christ was about to be crucified. In less than 24 hours, he'd be dead. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. What does he do? He gets up and starts washing their feet. What about us? Verse 9, blessed and happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers, they reconcile. They don't point out the things they've done wrong, they forgive. If I point out the things that they've done wrong, God says, you know what? Well, if you're not going to forgive, I can't forgive you. If you're not going to show mercy, I can't show mercy to you. Just let it go. Be kind. Let your joy be full. Reconcile. It's all about when Matthew, 18, 15, when we go to our brother, it's not to point out their faults. It's to gain them back. It's to show that you love them and care for them. And you're just willing to take whatever type of loss there is. And that's what we do in life and in all that we come in contact with. We're to be peacemakers in our family here, peacemakers at home. My third oldest in our family really strives to be a peacemaker in our house. It's his little thing. Wow, yeah. You have to figure out who that is. Are we willing to work as peacemakers? If so, they shall be called the sons of God. That's what it says. Verse 10, blessed, again, happy, extremely, supremely blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You're willing to suffer for doing what's right. You know, today, those who want to live to do what is right and stand for righteousness, what happens? Mostly, what kind of response do we get from those in the world? We're laughed at. We're scoffed at. What? Do we see ourselves as supremely blessed for being scoffed at and laughed at? We bite our tongue? Turn the other cheek. We love our enemies. You cannot learn what it means to stand for truth and be persecuted any other way. If so, and that's the process, it says, the reward is the kingdom of heaven. In verse 11, adds another, more than just being persecuted. It says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So it even rises to another level. They lie about you. They're willing to hurt you. Jesus Christ was spit on. He was punched. He was blindfolded. Oh, yeah, prophesy, prophesy. Who just hit you now? Who just hit you now? They put this crown of thorns on his head and took a palm leaf at the other side and pounded into his head. We're told in Scripture to count it all joy for standing for the word of God. Do we love our enemies? Are we setting the right example? God wants to know. Are we doing it for Jesus Christ's sake? Because he's asking us. Or actually, he's telling us. And if we're doing it, you'll be happy. You understand how blessed you are. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus Christ said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Are we going to face it or are we going to run? Are we going to say, I am happy? I know what's going to happen eventually to you when your eyes are opened. I know my path going forward. I'm being godly. God gives us the comfort. If we're focusing on what we don't have, we're not going to be happy. God can't comfort us. If we're focusing on the abundance that God has given us, we're putting that into practice, hey. Know that this is going to happen. This happens in our life now, but it will increase. Will we be a part of that? We'll see. But understand that those before you were even killed. We can be happy. We can rejoice. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. It's waiting in heaven. We're not going to heaven to stay, but it's waiting there for the righteous. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its flavor, talking about us, how shall it be seasoned? If it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You know, back then, salt was used as a preservative. They didn't have refrigeration. They used salt to preserve meat. God's word is meat. The meat of the word. Are we preserving it by putting it into practice? Are we using it? We're preserving it to use it. Are we salty? Those that are wanting to hear God's word, are we afraid to tell them what the word of God is? Are we willing to satisfy their thirst? Providing them the water of the word that God has given us. By how we conduct ourselves, how we carry on, what we do with our neighbors, with the people at work, with the people we bump into, do they see the light in us? Our examples can create a thirst in others to ask questions. Are we grateful for the truths that God has given us? Are we putting them into practice to be like God? You know, salt also cleanses. You know, I get some deep cuts, some different things. My wife says, you need to get some salt. She'll get some warm water and put salt in it and cleanse that wound. Salt cleanses. Are we cleansing our lives? Are we like salt in our relationships with each other at home, here? Are we cleansing ourselves because we need to be cleansed? Be like Jesus Christ. We can ask ourselves, do I want to change? Or are we going to hold on? Don't hold on, or you won't be happy. Verse 14, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are to display godliness in our lives. People should say, hey, look at that city on that hill. Look at that light coming from that city. They should see it from a distance. People should see our examples of know who we are. Even when they can't, we're not there, but they see us in a distance. The example of godliness in our lives spreads like a city set on a hill. Cannot be hidden. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. So they're not going to light a lamp. Okay, I got this light from God, this truth, and I'm going to hide it. I'm not going to do anything with it, right? Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. People don't light a lamp and hide the light. They need the light. But on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. How many... I think we've all had situations where the power went off in our house. Sometimes, right? Even at night and the evening, the light goes off. Electricity's out. If you want to see, what do? Get a flashlight. Or you get a light. Or you get your cell phone, right? It has a light on it. You get a candle. You get something, right? You do that so you can see. You don't take that light and hide it under a basket after you have it on. You can't see. You use the light. We are the light. We don't cover what God has given to us. You know, if we continue in being a light, I'm going to refer 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, when Jesus Christ returns, it says, we'll see him as he is. We'll see perfection, but we'll see him. He is full of light. If God were to reveal himself in front of us the way he is, we would die because he's so bright. But when he returns, those who are light now, it's showing that in their lives, they're not hiding it, they will become like that light. Am I like I am? One of the greetings letter I gave you while I was gone. I am is a name of God. I am is a name of Jesus Christ. Am I like I am? Am I? Are we? We can encourage each other to do that. Jesus Christ, Psalm 50, verse 2, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Out of Zion, the church, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. And then Job 25, 5, God is more glorious than the moon. He shines brighter than the stars. The sun is a star. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Sometimes we get this knowledge, this understanding, this light that God has given us, we take credit for it. No. When we do that, we're giving ourselves glory. Let your light so shine before men. Be humble that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God has given that to us. When we do that and give him credit, we are humble. We want to grow in his spiritual gifts that he's given us. We want to feel poor in spirit. It's nothing I can do of my own. Give all the credit to God. We don't want to be, I know it all. And Mr. Tuck gave a sermon on being shipwrecked. It's not just me and you, God. If we say it's just me and you, God, no one else, well, guess what? We'll have doubts. We'll have doubts on the Word of God because we're not putting his ways into practice. We need to give all credit, all glory to God and fulfill his Word by putting it into practice. So, I've had a number of meetings regarding East Africa, and I was getting discouraged. And process going on and learning some things, and someone said to me, a minister says, Monty, you're a Daniel. I'm like, what, a Daniel? I don't look at myself as a Daniel. But let me just tell you what Daniel went through, and I'll talk more about it in the Bible study. For those who go through certain situations, and we can parallel this in our lives, okay? We can say, did Daniel get a raw deal? I mean, he was taken into captivity at an early age, probably a teenager, early teen. But we see that in the end, well, I'm not going to turn there right now, but we know that he was obedient to God in all things. He was happy. We'll probably go through the book of Daniel at some point here in the future. He was captured and sent into captivity at an early age. He was being brainwashed into the Babylonian culture. He lived in a society. He was in a Babylonian society that did not believe in God. He was made into a eunuch. He was put in charge of all the magicians and the astrologers who hated him. And eventually was also put over in charge of all the generals and the wise men. He was able to interpret dreams. He knew that God was with him. He was set up by those who were under him to be killed more than once. He was persecuted, and he never sought revenge. He was held captive under three reigning kings. And he made a godly impact on people's lives. Let's turn over here to Daniel real quick as we conclude. We look at the life. He went, and I think it was an old man finally was released. But he went through all that. He was grateful. He was thankful. And in Daniel chapter 10, there is an angel that came down to him. He's going through all this persecution. But you know, going through all that persecution and being put in the positions that he was, everyone knew who Daniel was. His light shined. And they saw that his God was with him. And I hope I got the right scripture here. If not, let me see. Daniel chapter 10. Yeah. Let's look here at verse 10. What does it say? It says, suddenly, this is towards the end, as he's getting older. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees. This is Daniel talking. And on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, talking about an angel. O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the works that I speak to you. A man greatly loved, beloved. He's saying, Daniel, we love you from up here. Yes, you're being persecuted to go these things, but we love you. You're beloved. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. See, we humble ourselves. We say, God is not hearing my prayers. Yes, he is. Just keep doing it. Keep following his ways. You'll see the change. But he says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So here are the angels trying to come down to see him, and there's this fight up in heaven blocking him to come. The demons and the angels, they're also battling and fighting. He withstood me for 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Talking about these demons. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. So God was working with him and helping him and guiding him. And we see that this angel was sent. And we turn to Daniel chapter 12, verse 13. See if that's where I wanted to go. Let me back up. Verse 9, and he said, go your way, Daniel. Daniel wanted to understand more. For the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. But he's told, but many shall be purified. They shall be made white and refined. And that's us. That's us, along with those others that are being called. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifices is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and shall arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. And you go in here, and it also talks about in Scripture that it will shine forth as the firmament in the heavens. I think we all should really focus and look at and realize that we have a lot to learn. We know nothing without God. We need him. Be happy. I encourage you. You encourage me. To be happy and thirsting and hungering and thirsting and desiring to be like God, desiring to be there when Christ returns and be given the reward, the gift of eternal life. Long to forgive, long to show mercy to others. Be a sacrifice. Follow the examples of the Bible, those who sacrificed their lives. And Jesus Christ, who's done the same. And knowing that those who persecute us also have the same potential of receiving eternal life as well. Right? If we weren't called, we would be like them. Understand and know that. Well, here's my Daniel chapter 12. Verse 1 says, at the time Michael shall stand up, and the great prince who stands, who watches over the sons of your people. There shall be a time of trouble. That time has not happened, but it is coming. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who was found written in the book. Brethren, let's not have our names blotted out of that book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, right? That's what we desire, that's what we want. And we should have the attitude, if I'm not godly, if I'm not living that, I don't deserve eternal life. But when we have that attitude, we're seeking the right way. And some to shame and everlasting punishment. And those who are wise shall shine. Right, we're talking about our light. Our light now, we continue in it, they shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, right? Those who turn many, that's what we're called to do by our example. Like the stars forever and ever. Let's endure all things. Let's understand the wonderful potential that we have, the awesome calling what God has revealed to us that we're able to put into practice now, and ensure that our light is always shining for the benefit of one another, because that's what God desires. And one day we will shine as brightness as the firmament in the kingdom of God forever.